Narayana namaste chanarunte vam narotamam devim saraswati vyasam titojayam udirayat nashta prayishwa bhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhavata utamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, everyone. So this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class is from Canto 5, Chapter 12, Text 16. And Text 16 is the last text for Chapter 12. Okay, so we're going to get to the end of Chapter 12 today by Krishna's mercy and guidance. From Guru. So, Srimad Bhagavatam 5:12:16. Tasman naro sangha susanga jata janasina heva viveka vivekna moha harim tad iha katana sutabhyam labdasmiti yatyati param atpana. Word for word translation. Tasmat, for this reason, nara, every person, asanga, by detachment from the worldly, from the association of worldly people. Susanga, by the association of devotees. Jata, produced. Jnana asina, by the sword of knowledge. Iha, in this material world. Eva, even. Vivekna moha, whose illusion is completely cut to pieces. Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tad iha, of his activities. Katana shutabhyam, by the two processes of hearing and chanting. Labda smitihi, the lost consciousness is regained. Yati achieves. Atiparam, the ultimate end. Advana, of the path back home, back to Godhead. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory associations within this material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting, Shravanam Ketanam. Thus, one can revive his dormant consciousness and, sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home back to Godhead, even in this life. Purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. To become liberated from material bondage, one must give up the association of worldly people and accept the association of devotees. Positive and negative processes are mentioned in this regard. Through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is dormant within. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving this chance to everyone. We are giving shelter to everyone who is serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. We arrange for their lodging and board so that they can peacefully cultivate Krishna consciousness and return home back to Godhead even in this life. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Tashu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Maro Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sicha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitam Tansajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate.
Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namusite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Panchakalpat Rubhyascha Kripasindhibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gol Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Mo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Nishtaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Purati Senama Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himavedi Vacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here is the English translation again. Simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge and with the sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory associations within this material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting Shravanam Kirtanam. Thus, one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness and, sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home back to Godhead even in this life. And there's one more thing in the end that I didn't say, and I'm going to say that now. So after the purport, it says, thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Conversation Between Maharaj Rahugan and Jatbharat. Hare Krishna. So, Jat Bharat is ending this part here appropriately with the most important information we should bear in mind all the time. Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees. Not just all devotees necessarily, which you can do, but the special association which is association with exalted devotees, the ones that help your Krishna consciousness to grow. They give you better understanding. We've given an analogy before that if you want to play tennis, if you play with a coach, you certainly will play tennis properly because they will teach you a lot. Play with somebody who is in the team, is experienced, like a senior devotee or a guru, coach being guru in this case, they're making the analogy. Then you learn a lot. And that's what Jat Bharat is referring to specifically, talking to Maharaja Rahugan. So if you associate with people who know a lot or who can help you or who understand the culture, not just theoretically, but live it, there is Gyan, there is Vigyan. Gyan is knowledge, Vigyan is a practical application of it. Krishna consciousness is a lifestyle, it's not theory. Although you have to know what to do, because we've lived this material life for such a long time that you need to know what spiritual life is, the natural life. So you have to be taught that. So yeah, you have to hear it. But you don't hear it, you just hear it and be just knowledgeable. Then it makes you a pandit. You just know a lot. But you have to apply it. If you don't apply it, then it's just as bad as somebody who doesn't know. No application. Well, if you don't know it, you can't apply it. And if you know it and you don't apply it, you also don't apply it. Both cases, you don't apply it. But it's a lifestyle. So if you don't live that lifestyle, then lifestyle is obviously application. Just like the person who knows physics, but a person who knows engineering is applied physics. They applied the physics to make machines. That's the difference. So then it has to be used in life. So now Jat Bharat is saying, you associate with exalted devotees who live, they teach, but they live the lifestyle too at the same time. So they're teaching you and they're showing you. They're telling you and they're showing you. So it's okay. as we say in the chemistry lab, say show and tell. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got this, but here it is. We did this chemical, but here's the chemical. So it's not a question of just saying, I did the chemical. They can actually see it. You make a product, okay, you made soap. All right, so you made soap. You can tell somebody you made soap, but it's more believable when you show the soap that's been made, because then you really have applied it. So, simply associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge. Anyone. So Krishna consciousness is open to everyone. From Brahminical all to lectures, those who are meat eaters and those who are even dog eaters, anyone. So Lord Chaitanya gave Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema, the highest, to everyone. And speaking about that, so His Holiness Gopinath Maharaj gave a lecture, and he was basically telling us how unfortunate we are. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said that we are also unfortunate. He used himself in Sishasika. I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. What's them? The holy names. The holy names bring Krishna prema. Now namakari bahudani jasava shaktis tatra pitani amitas parani nakaha itadi si tava kipa bhagavan mamapi duida eva midas idrisha mihajani nanuraga. Sorry, got the tongue twisted there. That's the whole verse. Your holy name can bring all kinds of benedictions to living beings. So you have hundreds of names, hundreds and thousands of names. This is about Krishna. Krishna and Govinda. In these holy names, you've invested all your transcendental qualities. It's all there. But for me, I'm unfortunate that I can't even connect with them. So that's the point that Maharaj was making. We can't connect with them. Why? Well, the biggest thing is offenses. We have to be very careful. Very careful not to offend anyone, not to make someone unhappy. And if you are, believe me, genuinely apologize and discuss for them to hear, to understand that you really mean you're sorry and you don't intend to do it again. And as we told, you serve them also in the way that it would be pleasing and beneficial to them. Give that service, devotional service to that devotee that we have offended. So that is the thing that you do. And if you do that, and so then you have good association. You're not perfect, but every time you make a mistake, you make sure you correct that, or you apologize for it, and be more determined not to commit that mistake again. Then you're getting more and more purified. And that's what that prize is saying. You can attain perfection of knowledge. Now, I talked about something that Guru Maharaj talked about Krishna prema. So here's a story that he came. He was talking about a story between Parvati and Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva and his wife. And the story is, you obviously, I'm just imagining the Guru Maharaj, he's so funny, but he acts everything out. That's all. That's why I'm kind of laughing about it, because I still remember the video. So he was saying that there was a man on earth, walking the earth. Now, Lord Shiva and his wife, they're up in the heavenly planet, but we higher than that, in Kailasa, close to the spiritual world. So that way above us. And Parvati is looking down, sees this man. This man has tried to be devotional. And so Parvati is saying to her husband, Lord Shiva, why don't you give mercy to this man who has struggled and struggled and struggled through spiritual life, trying to be a good devotee? And Lord Shiva says, I've tried. I've tried to give him bhakti. I've tried to give him prema. But he's not really responding. And I want to prove it to you, my dear wife. So you watch. So then, as Maharaj says, then Lord Shiva took a cloth, nice cloth, and he put all these jewels in the cloth. Wonderful jewels. That will make anybody wealthy. Now, it depends on the kind of wealth. Now, we won't get to that part yet. But this said he just put all of these jewels, and he dropped it all the way up from where he was, so that this this thing that he had tied up nicely, he put the jewels in there and tied it to the cloth with seal, and then he dropped it right into the path of this man that's coming. So, I mean, you talk about an easy thing, just pick it up, right? So my eyes says, the man got to it, he saw the cloth, and then he thought, well, now, if I close my eyes and walk, I can walk around the cloth and prevent myself from doing anything with the cloth and go by it. And as soon as he said that, the body started cracking up. It laughed so hard. Yeah, it's there. Rather than take it, the man said, I think I should close my eyes and go right by it. So, he didn't pick it up. He did not pick it up. Now, what's in that? The jewels of Krishna Prema. Not material things. The jewels of love of Godhead is what Lord Shiva, the best Vaishnava, which is Vaishnava Itashambhu, best Vaishnava, put in for this person to just pick up Krishna Prema, and that would have been it. You would have gotten the highest. He decides that if I close my eyes and get around it, he said, you know what? That is our condition. That is really the condition of everyone. Even people that are trying to be devotees, still they let apparat and those things get in the way. Close their eyes to the Krishna Prema that's there. So he then said, this is what Lord Chaitanya is doing. Lord Chaitanya has made Krishna Prema available. Krishna, Chaitanya Chandramita, text 11, that's the one that usually say, he actually was saying it, and I just got it from him. Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya, Himavya Divecha Vishnarai, Tasmi Maha Prem Rasvadaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, which I myself now use before we start the lecture. I got it from Gogo Vinay Maharaj. It's Chaitanya Chandramita, text 11. Ananda Dinamaya Vigrahaya. Krishna Vigraha, whose form is Ananda, all bliss. Himavya Vishnaraya, his body is what, molten gold. Tasmima Prema Raspadaya, that's the key one. And who is distributing freely the love of Godhead? Titanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, I offer my obeisances to you, Lord Titanya. We are so unfortunate. Krishna is giving as Lord Chaitanya. Love of Godhead. Love of Godhead. The highest thing that we need that will take us back to Godhead without a doubt. But it's from the chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So how come we're chanting and we don't feel the love of Godhead? Because we don't chant perfectly. And we talked about how to do that. But see, Gogo Vinay Maharaj says, yeah, as far as that's concerned, that we should chant distinctly. In another lecture that I saw, he said that you literally have to move your two lips up and bottom, top and bottom, and your tongue. Move that. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, your tongue should be rolling and the R and everything should come up clearly. Hare Rama, the M presses both lips up and down together. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. So he was actually demonstrating it. And if you do that and you maintain that, you can't help but pronounce the words distinctly. And that was the point he was making. And if you do that consistently, your chanting will become better and better until you begin to feel from your heart where the soul is. Pleasure. Krishna opens up the pleasure in your heart. This is very practical. And then things that seem to bother you, they won't bother you so much. That means you're equipoised or equipoised. Both of them are used in Bhagavad Gita. Equipoised or equipoised. So then that means things that are happening, you know, negative stuff, you don't care about it, positive stuff, you know, as long as it's material. Now you're only interested in things that connect with Krishna. And you become happy. So happiness is actually internal. External happiness isn't there. It's only external is just sense gratification. Internal happiness and then connecting with the nine processes. Hearing about Krishna, which we're doing right now. Chanting the holy name distinctly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. all of them pronounced well, and maintaining that. So that you have to concentrate to do that. Because if you don't, you're going to go to a slur easily. And then you start mumbling. And now you're a namabas, indistinct name. Well, you can get liberation, but that doesn't take you back to Godhead. You can go to some heavenly, or maybe some of those low by Kunta planets, but not Kulok Vrindavan. That you can't get there with this. You have to be very, very distinct in your chanting for that to happen. When you do that, Yeyatama Papadam, Dead Time to Deva Bajamiyam, that's more of surrender now to the holy name, that you're really trying hard to chant properly. And Krishna rewards accordingly, he says. So it's just in our laps. People will just take it. You shouldn't act like the guy that had this jewels of Krishna Prema dropped right before him, and then he closed his eyes and went right by it. Now you're ever going to be developed love of Godhead. So that's an unfortunate situation. But it can be changed if we take things seriously. Mm-hmm. So through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is already there. It's dormant. So Srila Prabhupada said one time, I heard in the morning walk, he was challenging devotees. Did I come inject Krishna consciousness in you? Did I charge you money to give you Krishna consciousness? He said, no, all of that. And he led them to the, so many questions that they themselves concluded that Krishna consciousness was within, and he also repeated it. It's within you. I just woke it up. That's all. Everybody has Krishna. If you have a soul, you have Krishna consciousness. That's what the soul is about. Now, everybody here has soul in it. So everybody is open to Krishna consciousness. It's a question of waking it up or allowing it to come out and taking the material things out of the way. But I'm just going about it. Replacing the lower, which is material, with the higher, which is Krishna consciousness. It is not impossible. It's not impossible to get to Krishna Prema. So Prabhupada gives the mercy. All right, now if you get up to a certain point and you clean yourself up of your unwanted desires, there's a higher chance that you go back to Godhead. But there are other levels that you can develop, getting the taste and the Bhava platform, which is the beginning of love of Godhead, and then all the way up to 100% love of Godhead, which is Krishna Prema. That's also possible. Very possible. And that's what a devotee is supposed to be about. But because some of us will struggle, and Srila Prabhupada's aim, for that matter, the Gaudiya Math, the Parampara, they want us to go back to Godhead. So even if we don't get to 100% Krishna Prema, still the mercy will be given by the spiritual master to go back to Godhead, as long as you're not offensive. So in that regard, the comparison is made between the mercy of a spiritual master and the mercy of Krishna. And they say that the mercy of a spiritual master is greater than the mercy of Krishna. Which in one sense, superficially is true. You can't argue that, because Krishna deals with pure devotees. The gopis are pure devotees. The gopas are pure devotees. Everybody deals with the pure devotee. But the spiritual master is dealing with those who are contaminated and trying to get them to the pure platform. So the spiritual master, in that sense, is giving more mercy than Krishna. But then you can tell us, but where did he get the mercy from? Krishna gave the mercy to him. So actually, still, you can argue both ways. Krishna is indirectly supreme, in that sense, in terms of giving the mercy. But he's giving it to his devotee to use to help us. So see, Krishna is still all-pervading, though. Sometimes he's in the background and sometimes he's in the forefront. It just depends what he likes to do. In the case of spiritual master, he's in the background. And he let the spiritual master be the one in front, helping us. But the spiritual master's mercy is mercy from Krishna anyway. So he is still in control. The spiritual master is using Krishna's mercy to help us. So we should be appreciative of the spiritual master for what he's giving us now. And we should be appreciative of Krishna because he was the source of the mercy in the first place. So spiritual master says, worship Krishna. Why? Of course he is the supreme. And how? In Kali Yuga, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Krishna says, Mat Bhakta Puja Vyadika. He says that if you worship my devotee, I'm even more pleased than you worship me. Therefore, I will offer obeisances to the spiritual master. So we do both, right? We offer obeisances to the deity, and then we offer obeisances to the spiritual master. So we do all of it. So you offer obeisances to the Bodhi, the spiritual master, Krishna is pleased. And then you offer obeisances to the Deity, the spiritual master says, yes, you are learning the right way. So he's also pleased. And Yasha Prasadam, Bhagavad Prasadam, when Krishna is pleased, Guru is pleased. When Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. So we just worship all of them. Do everything that the spiritual master directs us to do. So the direction comes from the spiritual master. You take spiritual master seriously. Tapiri paripatena paripashtena sevaya. Approach spiritual master, inquire from him, and literally surrender to him like you would Krishna. That's where you learn. So Guru is your Krishna in play. You learn directly, like, you know, it's serious still. But Guru is not Krishna. Guru is a representative of Krishna. So you have to worship Guru as if Krishna was there and you're worshiping Krishna. So how you worship Guru is going to be taken as how you worship Krishna. And how you worship or how you deal with devotees is going to be taken as how you deal with the residents of the spiritual world. So everybody is a test for you. Guru is Krishna for you. And the devotees are those in the spiritual world for you. So if you offend devotees, it's like you offended those who are living in the spiritual world. How are you going to go back? They won't allow you. So you can't afford to offend devotees. So if you make a mistake, and to err is human, and we all do it, and you realize that you offended devotee, believe you me, it doesn't matter what level they are. They could be Bhakta, Bhaktin, all the way up to high. You really, really, really express your deepest apologies to that person. And don't think you're big, therefore they, you know, they're small, therefore you shouldn't. That would be more false ego. More trouble. More trouble. We'll talk about false ego a little later. So, continuing the purpose in the Prabhupada, we are giving shelter to everyone who is serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. Now he's talking as a guru. This movement. He is the head of the movement. And he says, we means him and those that he has trained. He and those who he's trained in this. And the parampara, definitely, you know, all the spiritual masters ascended. In that order. They are all giving shelter to everyone who is serious. If you're serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness, then you get the shelter in the form of the holy name and even goes physical. We arrange for their lodging and board so they can peacefully cultivate Krishna consciousness. And this he has done. The temples around the world, most of them have places where you can live. And we're so fortunate that we can go any part of the world. Even when we don't understand language, the language is there. But if you say Hare Krishna, everybody says Hare Krishna. It could be Russian, it could be Italian, it could be French, you don't understand it. But Hare Krishna, you know. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Putali, everybody speaks the same thing. That's when it comes to Sanskrit, we're all on the same platform understanding each other. And this is wonderful. And you go any part of the world, you can go, and if you're a devotee, they're going to give you lodging. Can you do that? How many people have that ability, have that opportunity as a religious person? But we have it. So, Sri Prabhupada has given us a lot more than we think. So we have to be careful of how we relate to each other. And the most difficult, as he says, is, or as he said in the scripture, it's a false ego. To overcome false ego. So, by your permission, we're going to spend the rest of the time talking a little bit about false ego and how to overcome that. This is a workshop given by Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami. Different forms of false ego and how we should note how it manifests so that we'll see how to deal with it. So, first, in everything that we do, first we think about it first. And sometimes if we think about something that's nice, when the mind is our greatest friend, or we think about something that's not good, which means our mind is becoming our enemy. But by humility, we can help to make our minds, you know, be our friends. So in everything that we do, we should question our intention. Where is this coming from? Is it for hankering for adoration? We want to be adored? If you think you're going to be adored, you'll never be humble, because adoration is exactly the opposite. They're playing you up. The adoration doesn't work in Krishna consciousness. Humility is actually what works. So, in everything we do, our intention should be questioned. whether we are trying to be adored when we really don't deserve that position, we should be humble. The adoration actually attacks humility. Or we want distinction, or to show that we have all the answers. Sometimes, you know, the bullies don't even realize that. But sometimes they brag a little bit, they have all the answers to everything. Or is it from understanding the spiritual rule of law and how it's applied? So that's how we should question ourselves. We can just take stock at the end of the day or at the end of the week, whichever way, whichever one works for you, whichever, you know, part of it works for you, and question yourself. So at the end of the day, all right, so I did this, I did that. Was it the best thing to do? What could I have done to improve it? Is there any improvement at all? Was there some things that were actually bad that has to go? Maya is not our enemy. Maya only points out what we do wrong. And he points out in a special way. And he sees very good at it. So that we see what's wrong so we can work on it. Sometimes people say, oh, Maya has tempted me and I failed because of my... Well, Maya pointed it out to me. He didn't say you should do it and fail. Maya just pointed it out. The temptation is there. He points it out on the temptation point. But that doesn't mean you have to fall into it. He's just telling you what your weakness is, so you can work on it. And if our mind is going towards that, then the antidote is immediately chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in a desperate mood. In a desperate mood, because we're falling. And then Krishna can help us. And then we'll be slowly given the reasons to stay away from Maya. Everybody's reason is customized because we all have different weaknesses. And Krishna takes the time to set it up in such a way that there will be some statement that is counter to that Maya. And as soon as that Maya comes, then that statement comes. See? It's because in this, I shouldn't fall into it. And then you prevent. No, it's actually practical. Very, very practical. Krishna will give us every reason. The special reason that we need for every anatta, every unwanted desire, and how to get rid of it. If we chant seriously and we chant desperately, he'll help us like that. We cannot purify ourselves. That was Hiranyananda Maharaj gave a lecture and pointed out to us, we are all trying to purify ourselves. You can't do it. Maya will beat you. Maya will beat you. But the only person that can help you is Krishna through the agency of Guru, because Krishna is Maya's boss. So Maya cannot overtake Krishna. So if we submit ourselves to the process, then Krishna helps us to defeat Maya. And defeating Maya means getting purified. So we have to surrender to the process. To try to do it on our own, you're wasting your time. You're going to be the judge, jury, you know, prosecution, defense, everything. Are you kidding? Maya will beat you easily. Easily. But if you submit to Krishna through Guru and through the devotees, that assists you, associate nicely with them, like Jayaprabhad is saying, simply associating with exalted devotees, then we can obtain the perfection of knowledge. So, false ego is more difficult than anything else. And so here are points of how false ego manifests. How does false ego manifest negatively for the person who is materially successful? Well, you can say, I am successful, therefore everything came from me. I am the doer. I became successful because of my own ability. And a lot of people in universities think that way. I am a professor. I studied hard. I did research. And I've gotten all this knowledge. And therefore, I put myself at this level. They don't tell me God did anything for me. And worse is, and I heard one professor say this, I was shocked. In one liberal arts college in Pennsylvania that I taught temporarily for 1 year. And when I was there, I heard the head of the chemistry department say, we do experiments. Why? Well, God did this. I can do it too. So that's the mentality. God has done it. I'm also going to try to do it so that I can compete with God. Now, if that's not envy, I don't know what that is. A guy that's supposed to know better said this. I won't mention it. I still remember it very like was yesterday. So, arrogance, another one. When they're materially successful, arrogance, don't want to accept mistakes. Boy, is that serious. Some people I know, they just won't accept mistakes. And you can never be humble like that. So again, when a person is materially successful, they become insensitive. Sometimes they exploit. Sometimes they condescend. They look down on people who are not as successful materially as they are. These are all false ego ways in which they manifest. Now, what about false ego when there's failure? Well, first, you'd be surprised to hear this, but fear. Fear of being discovered that the person failed. That I failed, and I'm afraid that people will find out that I didn't do well. Whatever it is that I was supposed to do, I didn't do well. Well, now, to err is human. People make mistakes. So what's such a big deal? If you say it's not a big deal, then you're not exercising false ego. But if you try to hide it so that people won't find out that you didn't really do well, and you hide it for fear of people finding out, then also it's false ego. Or sometimes you have service, and because you've made a mistake, now you're afraid people will find out, so now you say, oh, I don't want to do the service anymore. It gets to a point where you want to give it up. Because every time I try it, I make mistakes, and then I look, you know, unprofessional or whatever. People may laugh at me, therefore, you know, I won't. But we all should remember, we didn't get up every, you know, once just all of a sudden and learn how to drive, and master how to drive a car. We made mistakes trying to learn how to drive a car, and we kept on and kept on and kept on until we learned how to drive a car. Or, for example, a baby been crawling around and now trying to walk. Even stand up. When they stand up, they take one step, they fall down. So the baby say, oh, I won't try again. Well, we'll never walk then. We'll say, oh, the baby's consciousness is not that high. But still, he knows to get up and try again and try again and sometimes hold mommy or daddy's hand and try and try and try until they're able to walk. Next thing you know, they're running all over the place. Faster than we can in many times. You know, more times around running around than we can as adults. But no. A few months back, they couldn't even get up. So you just try anyway and don't look down on ourselves. No. Failure? No. Mistakes are made, but it doesn't mean we're a failure. So, we think we're a failure rather than we made a mistake. Or sometimes we blame others for our own failure. Why? Well, you know, this is a thing that a number of us have to do, and you do your part and I do my part, and you didn't do your part properly, that's why I couldn't do my part properly. So now you're blaming other people, and that's why I failed. Now if he had done it properly, see, I would have done my properly also, because it connects to mine. See, we try to blame others. Now you might say, but even if it was true, but you don't put other people down and think negatively of them, because they can make a mistake. It's only a mistake. You don't blame for mistakes. You try to help the other person if you can help them fix theirs also. And speaking about that, not to praise myself, but there was one incident. The Pujari, this was a Gidanagri. 7:30 was greeting of a deity, 7:30 in the morning. And you have to do so many things behind the altar. You know, some of us had that service, so I knew what was going on. So Govinda Madhu Purusham, the song is ready to be played. The altar has to be opened. The deities have been dressed. 7:30 comes, the altar is not open. 7:31, the altar is not open. 7:32, the altar is not open. The devotees are waiting. So then, a hippie, and I knew who was behind the altar, not my god sister, but a friend of mine, you know, Mataji, it was her turn to be the pujari, to do the greeting of the deities. And 3 minutes had gone by. So then I went around and opened the pujari door, and there she is, struggling to get so many things ready for the deities before she opens. Now, could I have blamed her? Hey, her name is Mohini. But Mohini, how come you didn't prepare? No, of course not. She's in an emergency situation, so I just jumped and helped. Because I also knew how to do. Help. In 1 minute, we finished that, and she was able to open it. Didn't tell anyone. I just came by and opened the door and came back to the devotees. That's what you should do. That's what I've been trained to do. You don't blame. You just help. When the person is in trouble, you help them. Now, come and jump up. How do you do that? And I'm senior to her, but I still helped her anyway. Because she was in trouble, she needed help. Not chastisement, she needed help. So this is the difference between the consciousness of a devotee who is trying to be helpful and the consciousness of somebody who is blaming. That's the difference. And I don't take credit. This is training for my spiritual master and senior devotees. We do like that. Sometimes failure causes people to even go to the extreme end mentally. They just get depressed. Okay, I'll never get it right. And now it becomes a thing, a mantra in their heads, so we get depressed. So false ego can jump up in success when we're rich, or in failure, both. So we have to be careful. So many times, sometimes even, especially in institutions, this happens more frequently than we notice. Sometimes people, devotees who are part of an institution, in Krishna consciousness institution, they may fail because of their previous success. Now you think, how is that? How come they've been successful previously and so that's the reason they're failing? How can that be? But it does in fact happen. Because if the methods that were used previously were successful methods and you know there's a change, life is always changing. So if you take the old method in a new era and try to fit the old successful method in a new era and it doesn't work, then you're failing because you're taking the old stuff and trying to fit it into a new situation. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. So it's like you used to do things one way and now the variables have changed, but the members are still trying to hold on to the past. And now they're failing. So we have to watch for all of these. Why? It's again the false ego. The false ego that said, yeah, we've done it successful before, so why should we change anything? In the meantime, life has changed and they're using the old things and now it's not working and they don't understand why. So these are all subtle things that Dhyana Maharaj pointed out. Okay, we do a couple more and wait for questions. Now, how does false ego kick in when we are by ourselves? By ourselves. Now, there is something that he termed the internal dialogue. The conversation between the mind and intelligence. That means the mind says, I want to do this, I want to do this. Then intelligence says, but is it good for you? If it's bad for you, don't do it. If it's good for you, then you can. So there's an idea that comes, that's the mind, accepts or rejects. And then intelligence fine-tunes it as to what is good for you and what's not good. So that conversation can happen in dialogue, meaning the mind talking and the intelligence talking internally. Now, false ego might say, when we're by ourselves, that we are the best. Sometimes we feel that we don't need anybody else. And become comfortable that we can do everything by ourselves. No man is an island, as the saying goes. You cannot be everything that you need for yourself. You need association. You need help. Some other people do things for you to get it. If you go to the grocery store, you didn't put those grocery items there. Somebody put them there. Somebody brought them. Somebody categorized them. Somebody priced them. And somebody put them on the shelves. All those people help for you to be able to buy it in the first place. And then somebody else is going to take your money before you walk out of the store. But you can't say, I just bought it. I bought it. All those people helped you, even though you don't know who they are. So we are definitely connected. We can't say we do everything by ourselves. I know everything. That's not true. It's false ego. Next, how does false ego kick in when you are with people? In the opposite, when you're a whole lot of people around you, as opposed to being by yourself. Well, one of the things is sometimes our ego kicks in and now we want to be noticed. And we're still adored by everyone. We want to be like a showman. We're not sensitive and we try to manipulate the people around us to get what we want. Make them do what we want. And sometimes we show that we're better than most people because now we want popularity. Or we try to hide our real weakness so that people can't see the real us. We put on an air, something that we're really not, trying to act like we know something when we don't know. This is all things that we do around people. Now, how does false ego kick in when we are elderly? The elderly. You say, oh, the body is useless, so I should give up and not do anything. You're elderly, but you still can do some things. But you say, oh, because my body, everybody sees I'm elderly, so I can just sit down. Actually, it's a reason to become lazy. But because people are elderly and they can get away with their age, then they sit down sometimes when they could do something and they don't do it. Or they use their age to impose on others and demand respect. Well, now, you can be respected, but as an older person, if you're humble, you don't demand respect. People will respect you based on how you conduct yourself. So that's false ego when a person is elderly. What about when they're young? Oh boy, and it's, yeah, so much is there, energy is there, so then you feel, I can do everything better than everybody. Again, false ego. And because of that, we don't want to listen to anyone, because you think you know the best. Especially if you're smart, you're a straight A student. Nobody can tell you anything. Nobody can tell you anything, because you got to answer to everything. Even in life, even though you're book smart, sometimes you think you're young, you think you're life smart, but you don't know much about life at all, because you're not mature. You just think, I got everything. So, there was this meeting called the Fireside Chat. At that time, in Washington, D.C., in the 90s, many of us were single at the time. And so, it was arranged by my artist camp, the building in 99th Street, Northeast Washington, D.C. And we have meetings of those who are looking to get married. The men came, the women came. But it was discussion in the Krishna consciousness way, related to life, so that people will understand what is what. And do we have better consciousness, so that when we're relating, we can relate with better intelligence and not give ourselves so much trouble. So this was being arranged every Saturday evening. And one guy who was in his 40s, who actually wasn't looking to get a girlfriend or something, but he was there. He was one of the moderators. And he talked about, he's looking back and smiling and said, I'm 40s now. When I was in my 20s, I thought I had the answer to everything. We all started cracking up, laughing. But some of us were at that time, in the 20s and 30s. But it gives you that when you're young, you think you know everything, but you haven't gone to the 30s. You don't know what it's like in the 30s, or the 40s, or the 50s, or the 60s. Life changes quite a bit. It changes quite a bit. And when you're in the 60s, you look back on your 20s and I go, well, yeah, I thought I knew everything. How dumb I was thinking that way. I didn't know much at all. And that's the false ego thing. When you're young, you just haven't gotten to the 30s and 40s, so you don't know it can change like that. And you think you have everything. Parents who are in their 40s look back on the teenagers in their 20s and go, Oh, mommy, daddy, this. I said, you wait, I can't explain now. When you get to that point, you'll see it. No. I go through my own daughters. This is stuff in the house now. Because they're late teens and early 20s. And, we help them. We help them. Because of their training, they're a little more humble. And so when these things they come up and we try to explain, they do hear. But they do come up. And I'm kind of, I'm the oldest one, so I'm kind of chuckling about it. In my 60s now, and I remember when I was in my 20s. Yeah, some of those things came out too. Because you think you know it all. And then you get to your 30s and you begin, oh, it's different. You better believe it's different. And 40s and 50s, even more different. So every decade changes your consciousness. You mature more. You cannot think, or if you think that you know everything when you're young, you are in so much maya, it's not funny. You'll find out later on. Hare Krishna. So, how does false ego kick in when you're atheistic? Well, atheistic means you don't serve God. So now you think everything is from me. And you want to enjoy yourself without thinking of the consequences. In other words, all sense gratification. You have no belief. That's mortal ignorance. So we will end here. More the ignorance, more the passion. So what do you do? The conclusion is false ego has weapons for any walk of life. Even when you're spiritual, you can't have a false ego. But that means you think you know God better than everybody does. That's also false ego. So false ego is there for every walk of life. It's like a snake. It can strike at any time. What's the antidote? You have to look for it. Recognize it's there. And get rid of it, because if you do not, it will bite you. And so, you humble yourself according to the teachings of a Shastra, Guru Shastra and Sadhu, and also chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, for Krishna and Guru to help us out of our false ego. And that's from associating, just like Taparat said, Hare Krishna. So the translation again, simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain the perfection of knowledge. That means kicking out the false ego. And with the sword of knowledge, cut to pieces the illusory associations within the material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting, Shravanam, Ketanam, Vishnu Smaranam, then Vandanam, prayer, and so on. There are 9 processes. That's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think 7531. I'm not quite sure. Don't quote me on it. But the 9 processes. Thus, one can revive his dormant consciousness
and then sticking to the cultivation of Christian consciousness that they've learned, then ultimately they go back home, back to Godhead, even in this life. That means after they quit this body, they're going back home. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you for listening. You can now unmute your phones and let's have some discussion or questions. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Lord Shri Prabhupada. Yes. It reminds me, very wonderful comment to me. It reminds me of a comment I also made by Guru Vinay Maharaj. He says, and this was not on YouTube that I saw. This was an actual meeting. He came to Washington, D.C., the same place I was talking about, 9th and F Street, and he gave a class. And in the middle of a class, and he was just cracking all kinds of jokes, and we were very new about this Bhaktin. We haven't heard any guru crack jokes like that, because Bhaktin Maharaj was not cracking jokes. But this guru was. And he said, so you do all kinds of bad things, huh? Now don't blame Kali Yuga for your own folly. Don't blame Kali Yuga for your folly. And he's just rubbing it in. We all love you. But he's making a point. Just like you said, we always say Kali Yuga. Because of Kali Yuga, we're doing things that are bad. But Kali Yuga doesn't change anybody. We ourselves make Kali Yuga work like that. Kali Yuga is not conceptual. But the real thing is, people do wrong things in this age. So if they change, the age can change. But we're going down, 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 down. You don't go against Srimad Bhagavatam. People are getting worse and worse and worse in attitude. Because Maya is reigning at this point. And devotees are supposed to live such a yuga lifestyle. Golden age lifestyle. More of goodness. Even though we are here at a time of Kali, again, Guru Maharaj challenged devotees. Yes, there's Kali Yuga, all kinds of vices are there, but it doesn't mean you have to play into it. You have to live like it's the golden age, Satya Yuga. And then turn Hare Krishna also. The body should do that. Yeah, so good point you brought up. You know, sometimes we're blaming everything else but ourselves for our mistakes. Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, yeah. Any other comments or questions? Hare Krishna, Jai, except for this is God Shri Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Jai. To resolve it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's yes. Okay, you summed it up. You summed it up wonderfully. Yeah, you summed it up. And it's wonderful how you explain. Well, I know your background, so I'm not surprised you put it the way you did, started and you know, and analyzing and then getting to that point. So yes, it's ultimately what helps us out of all our troubles with Maya is service. And genuine service from the heart. Genuine service from the heart. Not just, you know, yeah. That's what Krishna looks for and helps us to clean all of these problems, including our faults, just like you put it. And then we become more and more and more purified. That's exactly what the process is, just like you described. Hare Krishna. Thank you. We all are. You kidding me? We all are. We all are. And if you don't put yourself in it, you're not humble. We have to admit that, yeah, there are faults here.
Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. So we're all going through it. And that's the beauty. And see, the Prabhupada is the one leading us. You know, with all of, through his himself, his books, his lectures, and lectures from those who have learned from him and spreading. Krishna has appointed him in that position at this time for us. At this time for us, you know, there was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Nuttaku, who were before Sri Prabhupada came. But for us, he took all of their teachings and infused it in his purpose. He quotes them too. So we get the benefit of the entire Prabhupada, which the Prabhupada did it like that. So this is just, he's made it universal, joining even the Prabhupadas, those who came up before him, their teachings are infused in his commentary too. So we get it all. That's how powerful this is. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Any other comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Lord Srila Prabhupada, then.
You came as an individual last night, and the point you were bringing up, you know, about a person and their claim, and how our mind can be limited, and how we should, you know, be so sure of ourselves without inquiring submissively with the spiritual master.
Hence, near the Buddhist,
I was speaking as an individual, and you know, very much, you know, in their 20s, sure of themselves, but full of suffering, and then, you know, contentedly,
the suffering is there.
They were trying to figure things out on their own.
Yeah.
Through that process there, I tried to explain to them, you know, the importance of having someone to help you. So, how can we, especially in America, I find, you know, when it comes to the concept of religion, it's hard for people to say,
You can start with a general statement. This is what's coming to me. Life is a learning process. Life is a learning process. You learn as you grow. You're going to learn more and more. Well, now, if you're going to learn, somebody has to teach you. Don't they? Somebody has to teach you. Even if you look at a book and say the person is not there, but someone else wrote the book, and that person is teaching you. So no matter what you think, you're learning how to grow in life. And therefore, there must be somebody to teach. Learning is always a student and a teacher. So in all stages, there will be some sort of teacher, depending on what, you know, path that you've taken. So that's just there. It's there for everyone. So you can advise a person and say, well, you know, you may think you know it all, and I felt that way too when I was your age, but I've learned that life is a growing process, and you got to learn, and you got to learn, somebody has to teach you. So look for the person that's ahead of you. That knows better. Sometimes they may be older than you or more experienced, or they've been somewhere that you haven't been and they picked up stuff, and learn from them. Now, if you can, This is, if you can, 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, 8, and 9. Those are talking about the Avadhut Brahman and the 24 gurus. And we know gurus are teachers. So, 11th canto Bhagavatam. 7th is the introductory part. Then it gets into the heart of this whole thing. The 24 gurus, 8 and 9, chapters 8 and 9 talk about it. So you can learn from different situations. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up because Vedava is right in front of me. Bhagavatam, so that I can actually talk about the 24 gurus themselves if I'm able to get to it. But anyway, as I'm talking, I'm also searching. There are, I guess not today, it's not cooperating with me. There are people and things and animals and insects that you can learn from. You can learn from the earth. That's the first one. This is off the top of my head. So from the earth. The earth is very, very tolerable or tolerant and also sustaining. All kinds of things happen on the earth. Don't people drive cars, dig the earth, and all of that. And that's one thing. So tolerance, you can learn like that. And then the earth is also sustaining because the trees and the plants are on the earth and they provide sustenance for us in terms of fruits and vegetables and so on. Even the cows that provide milk, they use the earth. Why? In terms of their food, grass. Grass is on the earth. So the tolerance and the fact that you got to understand that you are dependent on a higher nature in terms of the earth, that's one of the things. And then the wind, it blows, it causes things to happen, but it doesn't get caught up in anything. At the end of the day, it's still the wind, nothing else is in it. It can carry smell, but it's not the smell. In other words, you can do things and also be outside of it, not get affected. And then there's one, this is the person that was the maid. I'll just say that one more. It's 24, but I'll just list 24 of them. So we talked about two. Now, the young lady, the story is the young lady wanted, she was at the stage of, at the marriageable age. And it was quite attractive, and men came to the house, looking for a hand in marriage. And, so imagine a simple village situation. She was cooking, but she was also dressed nicely, and she had bangles on her wrist. Quite a few bangles on one and a few bangles on the other. And as she was trying to cook, the bangles were hitting each other and making all this noise. And she didn't want the men who were in the living room, he was in the kitchen, to realize what she was doing, that for whatever reason, there was this, I don't know, that part, we'll get into it. But that was the reason. So the bangles were making too much noise and would distract, they would catch the attention of the guys, and she didn't want that. So she started breaking them. He broke them until it got to the point where there were two bangles on each. So, all right, well, that's only a few left. And then she continued. And still those two were making noise, hitting each other. So then he broke them to just one each. Then one means that the one on one hand can't make any, on one wrist can't make any noise. Now, the lesson from that is, when a lot of people get together and they're not devotees, what happens? Gossip, this, that, and that, all kinds of things that you talk about. So he said, watch for that. Be sure your association is a higher association. Don't deal with those who are, commies, as we call them, and they will talk about, all kinds of things that's happened. This happened and that happened. Who died? The news talked about who died. Who was born, what politician cheated other people, the same thing over and over and over again. All noise. And then you just, you don't do Krishna consciousness with your time. You hear all of this. So that, was this one more? The prostitute, her name was Pingala. The prostitute dressed herself nicely. And they know how they do, they're outside and pacing up and down trying to get attention of men who want to relate sexually to them for money. But one day, Krishna gave this prostitute some lesson to learn. So, she was dressed so nicely, beautifully, pacing up and down as usual. The men would come, they would stop,
they look around and they just keep going. And so it's in the morning, afternoon, got nobody, evening, got nobody, almost 12 midnight, nobody stopped to relate in this business with her. So then she had a realization, what am I doing to myself? The men have showed me that this is a horrible profession to be in. Krishna has given me the message that today, even though I was so beautiful, physically attractive, every one of them has rejected me. Therefore, I better stop this business and stick to Krishna consciousness. So the lesson to learn is, stop all that Maya stuff and be Krishna conscious. So it's there. 11 canto, 7, 8, and 9, if you read, you get all 24 of them. So you can learn that way, to act with, and the point I'm making is, you can use some of these as examples for this person who thinks that they have everything in hand and, you know, teach them like that. But generally, life is a learning experience and there has to be a teacher. They never think that you finished because you're just in your 20s so you know everything. You can relate to them that way. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Even in the process of the conversation, though,
It's a process of teaching, but even the teacher is also learning. And Bhakti did remind me of a point that was very, very interesting one time, again in that same place, 99th Street, Northeast Washington, D.C. One time he came up and says, I want to grow. Now here's a guru talking about, I want to grow. But he was making a point. So I want to grow, so I'm going to teach you so you improve. So when you improve, then the atmosphere goes and becomes more devotional. And that causes me to grow even more, to have more realization. And I will share that with you, and then you will grow more, and then it makes me grow more. Like that. So, you know, so even the teacher is looking to grow more. Now, gurus don't grow in the sense of they're learning things. They get more realizations. That's what Krishna gives. Gives more realizations that would fit the understanding of the disciple. That is a constant process. It's a constant process. The Shastra is there, but we talk about Vigyan, the realized knowledge from it. That change is based on what the disciple needs. And if Krishna supplies the guru with the examples that make the guru make it possible for the guru to explain in such a way that the disciple will learn properly. So even gurus are getting realizations as they go, and they share with each other, like that. So it's all, in a sense, you know, it's a different learning process for the guru. That's his realizations. But the rest of us, we are students picking up. And we can help each other. So that's why Kule Guru Vinamaraj, Vajjana Maharaj, Vidananda Maharaj, all of them have shared things that as Krishna is helping me to remember, Mata Smriti Gyanam Aponam Chatam. Krishna is the seeder in everybody's heart from heart. From him comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So usually in teaching, he gives a message so that we remember more than we forget, so that we can share. So I'm just being used, and the gurus have said things and Krishna is making me remember so I can share it. So I'm just transmitting. I don't take credit for myself. And that's also another form of humility that we're trained to do. We never say we are the ones that do anything. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you hear the Guru say that all the time. So even a person, even you're in a position of teaching, you still should have the mentality that I'm just being a transmitter. But sometimes I call myself the mouthpiece. This is a mouthpiece, and then they just channeling the energy like that. If you think that way, that's also humility. And you can teach even better that way when you do that. Hare Krishna.
Absolutely, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. We were speaking last night on that class with Krishna Prabhu. The question came up, and it's a question that comes up pretty often. You know, as a devotee develops in their spiritual life, and then they go through the years of Krishna consciousness, and they feel like
progressing. Yeah, I know.
I like the point that you just brought up, you know, when you said, you know, you're Googling fixing stuff up and grow constantly. Is the best way for us to devotees in that situation to grow? And I mean, would it be to, like, just the proper association? And as you're saying, you know, it's great to, you know, share Krishna consciousness, especially, you know, for devotees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love being in association of people and people getting Krishna consciousness for you. And I feel like there is such like a strong connect when they, you know, get that quality, I guess, conversation going about
Krishna consciousness.
Yes. They are pulling and making an effect on the other person's life.
Mm. Yeah, you summed it nicely. It's all of it. Krishna is merciful that in all ways, all kinds of ways, he helps to get Krishna consciousness across. So it's basically when you're hearing or when you're interacting with a Japa's exalted devotee, you're gonna learn some things. Sometimes they will speak, sometimes it's somehow they're helping you with your false ego. And you just go in the conversation and you're going on and you don't even realize. Sometimes they don't even know. They're just speaking, but Krishna is using them to help you in a situation. It happens to me a lot when I have a lot of questions and I hear a lecture, here come all the answers. And I mean, it's like, the ones that bother me the most, that day, some lecture, if I hear two or three lectures, by the time I finish, one of them is addressed over and over again. So that's why hearing is so powerful. Hearing is hearing. Sometimes reading, but sometimes hearing from somebody, or from the internet, like that, YouTube lectures and so on, lectures from Srila Prabhupada's connection and Srila Prabhupada himself. The answers do come. That's the mercy of Krishna. So in all ways, including the ones that you listed, we get helped, and we should take advantage of it. That's the way we go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. Any other last questions or comments? Okay, Gautam Prabhu, I guess we can end.
Yes, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Patitanam Pavane Vaishnavi Namaha. Hare Krishna to everybody. Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Right. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna. Jai.